listener.
KickPod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukit Wulan clan of the Boomerang, who are a part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Welcome to the KickPod, your D&M on the stuff that matters.
But also the stuff that doesn't. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, good morning or afternoon, whatever time you listen to this, and stop doing those.
Wherever and wherever you
are. Salutations.
I just think of sun salutation and yoga, yoga thing. I have no idea. But welcome to the KickPod, guys.
Welcome, everyone. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Especially after that.
How's your week?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. I'm going so high. Yeah. It's like, I feel like that means you're lying when you do that, but I'm not lying.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week.
And I've got like, we've got a lot on this weekend. So in an exciting way, like, you know, when you've got a weekend ahead that's like really busy and you're feeling overwhelmed at the thought of it, it's not that kind of feeling. It's like, I'm excited for everything that we're doing.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And one of those things that we are doing is one of our first kick run meetups.
Yes.
Which I'm so excited about. And that is also, you know, a kick update for the week. If you don't know what Kick Run Meetups is, it's basically Kick Run in real life where you can run with the community, and we've got 6 different locations in the world, not just in Australia, and it's happening until May. So we'll put a link in the show notes for more information. We'd love to see you there.
Saturday
morning.
We're
not going to see you at all of them. We'd love the community to see you there.
Every Saturday, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And also, I've had a lot of messages about the run in real life meetups.
Yes.
And around people saying like, oh, I'm really worried. I'm not super fit. I can't run yet. I'm just starting the 0-3 or 0-5 kilometer kick run program. And I just want to say that's the point of Kick Run Club.
Yeah.
There are
so many
run clubs now, which is great. But the point of the Kick Run meetups is to have somewhere where you can go, where you feel safe to go, where you don't feel like you have to be fit or to be like a, you know, super fast runner to be able to go. If you're just starting your running journey, like, it is the place for you. If you're further in your running journey, it's the place for you. It's really important that it's a really safe space. So
at every meetup, we'll have squad leads and squad supporters as well. So these are people in the community that have volunteered to help lead, which means that there will always be someone in the front, always someone at the back. So if you need to walk most of the way, that's all good. And a lot of the loops as well kind of go back on each other. Like you go in one direction, you come back. So, you know, if you're at the back and the people who are at the front are passing you, feel free to turn around if you want to join them and go back the other way. So we've tried to, as Laura said, ensure that no matter what your pace or what level you're at, you'll have a running buddy on the day. And we just can't wait to see photos. Please share photos.
And people making friends. So many people are coming alone, and it's run and then have coffee with all the, they all finish at a coffee shop. So so exciting. And yay, Steffi, we have got a DM.
Oh, okay. We have a DM from Georgie. Okay. Georgie says, hello, Steph and Laura. I just wanted to send you guys a message to say thank you so much. I've been using your Kick app and listening to your podcasts now for over 4 months, and you've helped me get through some hard days. I've been doing the running program with Laura, and I just ran 10. What? I just ran 10 kilometers.
Oh my God.
Yes, you, Georgie.
That is a, I have to stop saying slay in real life, but I'm going to say it now. That is a large slay. That is amazing.
That's so good. Okay. She continues. The days I get to run while listening to your podcast are often the highlight of my week and have given me the confidence to bring sunshine into other parts of my life. So again, thank you for being wonderful people you are. I love being a part of your community. Well, we love having you a part of our community, Georgie.
That is so special.
That's very lovely.
Thank you, Georgie. Yeah. Can I say one of my favorite things in the world is when I'm running and I run past someone who will like
quite
point at their headphones and be like, I'm listening to the podcast. Or like, you're in my ear.
Yeah. Like, I'm
oh
doing
God,
kick
that
run.
Is so crazy. So thank you, Georgie. That means very much. And as always, if you do want to get in contact with us, send us a DM on Instagram @KickPod or join our Facebook group, KickPod.
Yeah. And thanks to Lindsay for pulling that one. That was really lovely to read.
You're welcome. I actually had that moment on the tram the other day. I was not intentionally, it was just a busy tram, and I could see over this woman's shoulder and she had the Kick app and she was like scrolling through workouts. Oh. And I wanted to be like, ooh, what do you think? Do you lift to the bottom? But then I was like, no, that's a bit of an invasion of privacy. So I didn't say anything.
I wasn't looking at your phone.
It's nice to see them out in the wild.
Oh, that's so special. Speaking of in the wild, thanks, Lindsay, for that smooth transition. We are talking about Aussie wildlife stories. So if you weren't listening into last week's episode,
it just sounds really rogue. What? Like someone that's just started listening to the podcast
Aussie
is like,
wildlife.
What the F is this? Like, yes. Is this like the National Geographic?
No.
No, it's not. No,
absolutely not.
It's rogue, but trust us on this one, okay?
There was a reason why we brought it up. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I shared a story of seeing a snake up the Murray River in the last couple of weeks. And I had to bring it up, and it made me also think about what I often see online, particularly from people overseas, is like what they think of Australia, and that like there must just be spiders and snakes everywhere. And so I felt like sharing it. And then we decided we would absolutely love to hear your run-ins with Aussie wildlife as well.
Because we were saying, I was like, actually, do you know what? There are snakes and spiders there everywhere. Is. And yeah. It is scary.
It is scary.
And Steph did make me go kneeboarding. So if you want to hear that experience where I swallowed half of the river, saw a snake in the water, and it was horrible.
Yeah, please
go
back
and listen to that.
Yes, please go back and listen to that episode. But we wanted to hear some of your wildlife run-ins, and you guys have sent in some goodies.
So I was in the shower and I was taking off my makeup. So I had put my face cleanser on.
No.
And then I've just gone to grab my face cloth that I normally just wipe the excess with. And as I've taken my face cloth, I've put it on my face. And at the same time, a huntsman on the cloth has jumped onto my face during the shower.
No.
And there was definitely a lot of squeals.
Okay. Can I just say, okay. I never in my life feel more at risk / vulnerable.
In the shower?
When I'm washing my face.
Oh, yeah.
When the soap is, you've got the face.
Yeah.
And I was watching a video Zoe Foster-Blake did last night. You're meant to cleanse for 60 seconds.
I do not.
I do 10 because it feels very dangerous.
Yeah.
It is the point in your life where you're bent over at the sink. You've got soap all in your eyes.
Yeah.
To get that soap off is going to take at least 5 seconds, and someone in that moment could get you. And I always, in that moment, say the fact that the spider was on, because that's such a like vulnerable moment in itself.
Yeah, nah. I actually remember as a very, very young toddler when I was staying at my grandparents' house, I woke up to a dinner-sized plate huntsman on my bed just staring at me. Anyway, I woke up and I was like, oh my God. And I have this thick memory of us chasing it out of the house with a broomstick, right?
What? How big was that? What?
What do you mean?
A broomstick?
Yeah, like
how
trying
big is
to
it?
Scare it out of the house. So like we were chasing it down the hallway, out the front door. And my nan and pop at the top of the like stairs of their house, they had these like garden bed. Anyway, it escaped and it was gone. But for years, I'm talking like I was probably 5 when that happened. For honestly, the next 10 years of my life, every time I went and visited my grandparents, I had to run past that garden
bed.
Where
do they live?
And Bundoora? Why is that important?
Well,
or like a suburb.
Like, yeah, like
there's huntsmen's everywhere.
I know, but like why was it a dinner-sized plate?
I don't know. It was a big one. And I mean, you know what? Thinking back, I was a toddler. So maybe it was like a normal-sized huntsman. But like it was big. Okay, next one.
I grew up on a farm in WA, and naturally our neighbours had a couple pet emus. When I was about 4 years old, they invited me around to come feed them some veggie scraps for the first time as a little bit of an experience. So I go over there, get in the pen with a bucket of veggie scraps, I'm feeding them, and then I start freaking out about how big these emus are and how small I am. I try and get away from the emus, so I run around the pen, forgetting that I still have the veggie scraps in the bucket in my hands. And the emus chase me around the pen until eventually I'm cornered with the veggie scraps around at my feet. I'm crying, and 20 years later to this day, I still won't go near an emu.
Emus are freaking scary.
Sorry, that is so niche and I love it.
No, they're actually so scary, and I promise I'm not going to try and add something to every single one of your stories, but I actually do have an emu story.
That is so niche.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever
seen one.
Oh, I probably would have at the zoo or something.
Yeah, you would have seen one.
Like not in the wild.
Maybe. So they're up the river And yep, and one day, me, Martha, and Alana, my two high school girlfriends, for anyone listening who doesn't know who they are, we were riding bikes down the down one of the dirt roads, and this emu started to run alongside us at the same pace. They're quite fast. So we started to freak
out.
How
old are you?
We would have been like 13, 14, just riding our bikes, just minding our own business.
Pretty speedy 13-year-olds on a bike.
But the emu was kind of stuck by our sides because there was a fence on the other side of it. So we were just like running alongside. So we – and then we suddenly were in front. We got to one side, but Alana decided to go the other direction. She was on the other side of the road. And so this emu was like stuck in the middle, not knowing which way to run. And it was actually incredibly frightening. So I can imagine being a little girl with a bucket full of veggie scraps. That would have been terrifying. I could not even imagine. I was on a bike and 13 and I was terrified.
You are just Australian. I was like, the niche emu story that you've got. I love that you have an emu story. I love it. Okay.
So I was on year nine camp and me and my two best friends were setting up our tent for the night and we realized that the zipper had broken, but we didn't say anything. We just put our big bags in front of the zipper and went to bed. No. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and there was a possum sitting on my chest looking me directly in the face. And I jumped up and screamed so loud. My two best friends woke up. I told them what happened. And then we checked where all of our food was. And there was scratch marks and bite marks in our apples, in our chocolate bars. It was traumatic.
See, I would have been like, cute.
I think possums are very cute, but I think they're quite dangerous.
They can be, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they, I mean, I don't know. I guess they hold diseases.
Yeah, I think they have probably a bit of germs.
That is so funny.
But they do have really beady eyes, like,
They're very cute.
Oh my God, that's so funny. You have to, if you're camping in Australia, you have to close your tent.
There was, I literally saw a TikTok just the other day of a girl being like, oh my God, I just woke up and look. And she like flips her camera and there's a possum on her belly just staring back at her on the bed. Australia. Okay, last one for today.
Hi, ladies. Love your podcast. It brings my week joy every single time. So my wildlife nightmare story happened a few years ago when I was still living at home and my husband now was on his way back from work. So I tucked myself into bed, started reading my book, and I realized that there was like, you know, your common garden spider in my room. So I grabbed a tissue and by the time I'd squished it, I realized that the poor spider was in fact pregnant.
No.
And millions of little baby spiders were running in my closet, up my bed, into my sheets. Like, it was horrific. And let's just say that we ended up staying at his house that night. And I slept on my couch for the next few nights to come and basically didn't enter my room until I thought that they were all dead. Yep. Horrific. Hope you enjoy.
My girlfriend would have, Jen, she's fully terrified of spiders. She would have sold that bed. She would have probably moved house.
But there's so many, like, oh my God, there's so many of them. And like, are they tiny, like, still underneath the, oh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. And can I just say for all of
surely
our international
she bombed the room.
Listeners,
yeah.
I just love that we are living up to your expectation of the
come to Australia.
The goods. If you think there's spiders, snakes, emus everywhere, it's true. It's true. Thank you so much for sending in those stories, guys. They were so good. As always, if you want to get involved in the podcast, you can send us a DM at KickPod or come and tell us in the Facebook community.
Yeah, if any of you have got further stories, please share them in the Facebook community.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, guys. We had Megan on a Wednesday episode a few weeks ago, and it was all about breakups, helping you try and decipher whether or not you were going to break up with your partner. Or really, if you were just a listener, maybe having something to relate in some of those relationships. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend, even if you don't even want to break up with your partner, I highly recommend listening to that episode because I personally got so much out of it. And we enjoyed her chat so much that we wanted to bring her in regularly to our Monday episode. So welcome, Megan.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Now, Megan, today's question, I feel like this is a very common one. It is around the topic of he's perfect and the settle down with kind of guy. Why do I have doubt? So our listener wrote in, we have been together for 2 years now. I'm 24. We have all the same values and goals for our lives. He is perfect on paper, and yet there is a little pit in my gut that says he isn't the one, that maybe there is something better out there. What do you think?
Oh, you know, this really is, it comes back to the concept of the one that we've all really been taught growing up, and most of us grew up with rom-coms and, you know, the idealization of a perfect person that's suited for us. And in theory, God, it sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Isn't it just so, isn't it so empowering and so crazy to think that there is one perfect person out there for you, and they are just going to be so incredible, and they're always going to feel amazing, and you're always going to love everything about them. It sounds good. It sounds like something we all want, but in reality, the concept is far from the truth. Because when you think about only one person being for you, the chances of you finding that one person in this whole entire world are very, 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 very slim. So what I like to say in situations like this is it's about you understanding what you're talking about when you are referring to the one. I personally think that when we choose our partner, when we consciously choose who we're loving, anybody can be our one. My wife right now, she is my one, because I'm consciously choosing to love her and to be with her. But in previous relationships, would I have probably said that they're my one? Of course I would have, because that's what we all say when we first meet somebody that we're feeling head over heels for. We give them these titles because that's how we feel in the moment. And when we say somebody is perfect on paper, we're actually saying really fantastic things about them. But what we're also saying is if somebody's perfect on paper and we're not feeling the intensity that we used to, something must be wrong. And I hear that all the time. I no longer feel what I used to feel, and now I'm questioning the relationship. Now, obviously, this person has been in this relationship from 20 to now. I mean, that's still quite a young relationship when it comes to, you know, the longevity and the time they've been together. So I would say instead of focusing on the lack of certainty, I would instead ask this person to define or to understand what they're meaning when they assign the concept of the one, or when they are talking about this gut feeling in the pit of their stomach.
I think that's such good advice, because I think the thing that really came through for me was maybe there is something better out there.
Yeah, like the grass
and
is
green. That is exactly. That is quite a – I understand we all think it. Like we all – our mind goes there. Like we can't say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some people it doesn't, but my mind goes there sometimes, right, with different things. Mm-hmm. But the grass is greener where we water it. And I think it's a very – it can be quite a dangerous place to kind of think a lot in and live in that. Because there, we can always think there's going to be something better out there, right?
Mm. But I think to your point as well, Megan, with what you said about they're not, well, I mean, if there is the absolute perfect person that you always feel joy with and they always make you feel amazing and they're just like perfect in every way, like I don't think I know anyone who thinks that about their partner or themselves even. And so it's like, it's such an impossible standard. So if we're continuously trying to reach that point, then we'll probably never find anyone.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is what we tend, you know, obviously the grass is greener syndrome is real. I've sort of coined this term over my career is butterfly chasers. And I call a butterfly chaser somebody who is chasing a feeling of the initial beginning of a relationship long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's what we've been taught love is. We've been taught that feeling is love. But like I've said to you before in our previous conversation in the previous podcast, you know, love is calm. It's a state of connectiveness. It's not a state of adrenaline. And this is what we've been told is love, that it's the intensity. It's the you can't catch your breath. It's the you're obsessed about thinking about them. And all of those things actually aren't love. And what happens is we tend to get into a stage of our relationship where we start to go, oh, could there be more? Could I experience more? And are there more than one person out there for you that you could have a fantastic relationship with? Yes, there absolutely is. Mm. Of course there is. But it's about you deciding when I'm talking about, is there something more? Is there something more when I'm talking about the fulfillment of my life? Are there things, are we really not actually aligned on the things that we're achieving? are we not going to be moving in the direction that we want to? Is the fulfillment that I'm looking for actually not about the relationship? Is it about me and my career? Instead of making it about the relationship and, you know, this person, I'm worried that this person isn't the one for me. It's about going, what about the situation is making me assign so much pressure to one person giving me this feeling, and looking and seeing other areas of your life that maybe you feel you're moving away from instead of towards.
That is such good advice. And I think too, for this listener, highly recommend listening to the episode, the full episode that we did with you, Megan, on breakups, because I think what really came through there as well was that value misalignment being a reason. And that, that might be what's coming through here, but obviously we don't have all of the information. And we don't want to settle. We don't want to settle,
no.
But we also don't want to continually chase this lust, you know, and think that there's always
something. Yeah, absolutely. And it's okay for, and like I've said, you know, it's okay for people to change their mind. It's okay for people to outgrow and consciously go their own ways. And this listener may be in a relationship that maybe she no longer feels connected to, or they no longer feel connected to, And that's okay. It's but what we want to be able to do is for everybody listening is to better understand what they're saying when they refer to somebody as the one and the pressure of the one. It's just more of a self-reflection exercise, I guess, when people can, anybody listening to this going, oh, you know, like my partner's the one, or I'm looking for the one. Well, what's made you think that? What's made you assign that type of title? Because that's a lot of pressure for anybody to be in a one category. I mean, my goodness, that's a heavy weight to carry for anyone. So it's more of a reflecting on your relationships and the titles that you're giving and understanding what you're feeling as opposed to what you think you should be feeling.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Megan. I feel like this is going to be one of my new favorite segments.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you guys have any questions for Megan, please slide into our Insta DMs, or if you feel comfortable enough, you can absolutely bring them up and chat in our Facebook group about them too. And we'll chat to you again soon, Megan.
Can't wait. Thanks so much.
What is it time for? Special share. What have you got for us today?
Oh, what have I got for you? Okay. So I have got a book. I haven't recommended the book. I've recommended the person's podcast, Stephen Bartlett. Obviously, it's a very popular podcast. But he has got a book called The Diary of the CEO.
Yes.
The same name as the podcast.
Yes.
I haven't been able to get into it. I think the reason for that is because of the font.
Because I remember you bought the book.
I bought it in the UK.
Yeah.
I've tried to read it about 5 times.
Yeah. And now
I just couldn't. I don't know. Every time I just was not focused.
Yeah.
And when I say it's because of the font, if you have it, you'll get it, I think.
Okay.
I
think. Yeah. Like, anyway, not just a regular.
No, it's font. Got a lot of cursive. I don't know. Ah. It's just like, it's very good content, but
you can't do your usual lawyer read with that font.
I could, because it's very big writing. Okay. Anyway, I just haven't been able to get into it. Also, I have not been reading a lot of nonfiction books.
Yeah,
so I think it's hard to get back into it.
Exactly. For sure.
Anyway, it's actually on Spotify Premium. If you
as an audiobook.
A Spotify, actually, except the other day we were in the office because I recommended it to our team. And one of our team members, Alice, was like, I have Spotify Premium and I can't access it. So I don't know if there's something wrong with Spotify. I don't know. But for most people, if you have Spotify Premium, you should. It's automatically like in your Spotify account. So you don't need to buy it on Audible or whatever. But if you do like that podcast, the book is really good.
Mm.
Very, very good. It's got, I don't know how many laws, over 30. Mm. Laws of basically how he's run his business and had the success that he's had.
Mm.
And there are some very good practical takeaways. My expectations have been exceeded, and I'm doing a Steffi because I haven't finished it yet. Sorry. But I'm really enjoying it. So if you are into a kind of business literature, is what you call it.
Yeah,
business
sure.
Books.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. But I am finding the audiobook much better, much easier to digest.
If it's one of those ones that you're going to take a lot from, what I've been doing lately with some of those, I've listened to the audiobook
and then I bought
the book and then I've like gone back and highlighted bits and like written bits and doggy-eared tagged parts that I want to go back to. So maybe you'll do that now.
I think I will. But the audiobook, if you've also bought it and you're like, I can't get into this, try the audiobook.
Mm.
Thanks, Oz.
No problem. What have you got for us?
Okay, so my special share is not for you. Okay. Because I know you're not going to like
it. Okay, no problem. Is it a Disney movie?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's The Gentlemen, which was a movie, but now it's a TV series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So if you like, did you ever watch the movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay, one of the greatest movies, I think. No, not ever, but like really good movie. And like I've heard from quite a few people who don't often like to watch TV with their partner. They like watching this together. Like it's a bit of an action, a bit gruesome, but kind of funny and charming. But you wouldn't like all the killing.
Okay, so what's the synopsis of it?
Well, it's like these rich English people that are gentlemen, but like they really are like in the underworld. Is that what it's called when there's like drug dealing and killing and all that sort of stuff?
I know in Australia.
It's called something like
that. The underworld.
I don't know. Anyway.
It is called that in Melbourne.
They're dodgy. Let's just say they're dodgy.
I don't know in the UK. Interesting. I wonder if it's got its own like mafia vibes or.
Yeah, I suppose. But not really. But
well,
yeah, so
we better not get it wrong because they might come for us.
Anyway, The Gentleman like was produced by Guy Ritchie, so it's really like incredible production, really great actors in it. So the movie's great. If you haven't watched the movie, go watch the movie. But the TV show is what I'm recommending. We finished it the other day, Josh and I are one of those couples that we really want to be able to watch TV together, but we have different tastes in some things. But in things like this, we really enjoyed watching this together and I highly recommend. But yes, Laws, I'm not sure if you would jump on board.
I won't.
But you can try. You can try.
Do you know what? I actually have not. I think I was telling you this. I haven't been able to get into this
TV in general.
I think I watched one show this year that I maybe spoke about and like one movie. Mm. I can't. There's no shows that interest me right now. And it's annoying me because I want to, I'm instead of like scrolling TikTok, which I would prefer to watch TV.
I'm just going to tell you to watch Yellowstone again.
I know you are.
Because the new season is coming out later in the year. So if you catch up.
Unlikely. I'm waiting again, for the Yellowstone also to come back. What else am I waiting for to come back? What's it called? Morning Wars. I think got another season.
I didn't really like the last season.
Yeah, me neither, but at least it's something I know that I like. Usually. Anyway, because I just have I'm blocked by TV, but at least I'm in my reading. So like,
yeah,
that's
it's good.
Anyway, thank you for recommending that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We love you very, very, very much. We appreciate you also very, very, very much. Now, on Wednesday, we have got a very special episode going live with a community member, Ali, who has breast cancer and came on and shared her story. Highly recommend listening. Ali was so generous in what she shared with us and also the awareness around breast cancer that she's raising. So, and there's also some really good kind of educational element there is a really good educational element in that episode as well. And for us, we'll be back on Wednesday. And if you want to get more involved in the podcast, come and join our Facebook community. That is where if you're listening and you're like, Steph or Laura, why are you saying that? Or like, no, I want to share my opinion. Or if you've got something that you're like, I want Megan to answer this.
Yeah.
I want Steph and Laura to answer this. I want to hear people's opinion on this.
Yeah.
Come into the Facebook community. Have a chat with us. And also you can send us stuff on Instagram at KickPod. We will see you on here. I can't speak. What is this? This is a downhill.
We'll be back in your ears on Wednesday.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Bye, guys. Bye.